This is an uncensored podcast about sex, sexuality, gender, and body stuff. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely those of the person or persons sharing them. Some names have been changed to protect the anonymity of its participants. Friends, it is I, Drew Michael, and this is the first ever Make Sex With Me episode of 2024, season 5, my bitches. Hold on. With that, since we're so professional, let me close this door over here. Can you guys hear me? Let me just close this door. It feels kind of like, is that better? I feel like, the room. I feel like the room is a little, echoey. So we're out of the closet. We used to be in the closet for much of season 4. We were in the closet, and the good thing about the closet was that the closet was small. The closet had a lot of clothes, and so that kind of dampened any kind of like echo in the room. But we decided that the closet was hot in the summer and kind of cold in the winter, and because it's near the attic, I guess, and also really dusty because I don't ever clean the closet. And also there's like a bunch of clothes in there from, I guess, all the times I've ever gone to Goodwill. And I don't know. I think this is the beginning of maybe a conspiracy theory, but I'm pretty sure that there's something going on at Goodwill where they maybe like just spray or fumigate their clothing with something that just does a number on my sinuses. It's not good. So, something about their clothes just makes my sinuses go insane. Could be cat dander, could be just, you know, a coming together of, I don't know, dust mites and mold and whoever knows. But it's like I can go to a lot of secondhand stores. This place just bothers me. What a good start to 2024. You guys, I am so happy to be back. I had a very restful holiday without you guys. It was sad. I missed you. I was like, can I please just talk to them? In fact, I actually did like a little mini recording on New Year's Eve. And I was gonna use that to like drop some like little cutesy little New Year's, like while you're away, here's a message from me. But I listened to it later and I didn't really think it was very interesting. So that was not published, but, I was sick for like all of December. I literally got sick on December 1st. I was like helping with this kids musical and I was like, I just finished like a choir concert and I like, for some reason, I didn't realize until like just this year that like I have way too many fucking Christmas decorations. And I think we actually had more this year than any year before because my parents just have been bringing things down from their second home. And then they sold their second home. So now I think the full all the Christmas decorations that we all own are just now here in our house here. And it was like boxes and boxes and bins of Christmas decor, outdoor, indoor. Of course, half the fucking lights for the tree, half the fucking lights for outside didn't work. It was like a National Lampoon's level of like Christmas disappointment. But I managed to, with all the shit with my job being crazy and just having like a lot of volunteer things that I'm involved in happening, I somehow pulled it all off. And like I said, I got sick. I had like a head cold, and then it turned into bronchitis, and I literally had bronchitis up until like 5 seconds ago. It's like January. It's like halfway through January. It was more than halfway through January now. I think maybe like 2 weeks ago, I was getting rid of the majority of my cough, but I was like coughing so hard that like I had to brace myself for the coughing, and my ribs hurt and my abs hurt and my back was hurting up for a while. Even after the cold was gone, my back still hurt. And if like I didn't brace myself, if I was like lying down, and of course I'd have like coughing fits, like instead of being able to sleep, I would just have coughing fits like all night long, and it would wake me up. And then I was like trying to drink lots of water, so I was like peeing a ton. I was like, oh my God, I think I'm dying. But so I would wake up, and if I would go to sit up, cause I was like, oh, here comes the cough. And I go to sit up, and I'd be halfway between like lying down and sitting up, and the most painful, I would like cough, and it was like I was being stabbed in the fucking eyeball with a butter knife. It was like this very sharp, nagging pain from coughing in my head that would linger for 5 to 10 minutes after. Like I would cough once, and that pain would stay with me. And I had to like beat on my forehead with my hand. I had to like push on my eye. I had to like put like take both hands and push the sides of my head together, like my temples. Like it was pounding, stabbing pain. It was like, what the fuck? And I went on antibiotics for a week and it did nothing, because I'm pretty sure it was like a viral infection. And I was just like, and I worked I didn't get to take a break like the whole holiday. I guess the only thing I got to take a break from was you guys. And this is the one place where, you know, that's not great, because I love you guys and I love being able to talk about shit that's going on. I mean, this was in the beginning and still continues to be like a really awesome outlet for me to like talk about my life and my emotions and the thoughts I have. And it's a safe space for all that shit, and to, you know, share. And of course I always like want to hear from you guys too. So please, you know, write in. But yeah, it was just one hell of an end to a year that was not bad, but like very productive year. Another thing I did, you guys, and I don't mind tooting my own horn, I studied for the last like 4 or 5 months to take a CLEP test, which is like a college level whatever test to get credit for one class that I had an incomplete in from like 12 13 years ago or something, when I walked at my college graduation at Berklee College of Music, and I still had a semester though. Like I had a summer semester to do before I actually was done, but they only walk in the spring. So they let me walk, and then I just didn't finish. I just had one class that I bombed the exam, and I lost the ability to write the final paper. And the professor was like, you can write like that paper and then a second paper of equal length. And it was like ridiculously, both papers were way too long. And I went to school for music, and this was an anatomy and physiology class. And the teacher was a psychologist or psychiatrist or something. Like, he really should have been teaching psychiatry or psychology, but he was teaching anatomy and physiology. And so he just was one of those teachers that thinks that like you should, that his class is the most important thing and he needs to push you because, you know, of course we want our everyone to be more well-rounded, but like, dude, we're musicians, we're songwriters, like we're here for music, and your class is just one of the liberal arts credits we need to graduate, and you can't kill us. But he didn't fucking care. And then I couldn't even get a hold of him months after that. And then I think he died. So look who's not dead, bitch. That's what I have to say to him. I don't even remember his name. I want to say his name was Faulkner. That's probably not right. So anyway, I waited 12 years, found out I could take this test to get credit for that last class. And on January 11th, 2024, I went and took the test and I passed it by a very, very tiny amount. Like I got the worst grade you could get and still pass. So I officially have a bachelor's degree. And I don't feel that much different, to be honest. And I also haven't seen the piece of paper. Like, it hasn't come in the mail. I don't think it's going to come in the mail. I think the college might contact me and say, like, oh, you finished. And then maybe there will be something. It might be, like, the certificate I see every year from, like, the Cosmic Ministries, where I became, like, an ordained minister online for free 20 years ago to marry gay people. Yeah, it's probably what it's gonna look like. So I probably just could have like been faking a bachelor's this whole time, but I'm pretty excited, and it's giving me a little bit, like maybe a little bit more confidence to like try to get a better paying job and like do serious things and like, I don't know, just be a fucking whole person. So far 2024, we're off to a good start. I've also been, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more, in the recording that I did for the New Year's Eve, whatever recording, I was talking about how I was leaving 2023 feeling kind of used and abused. I had just been through so much in December, especially, and so many things that I just kind of felt like, it's not like I didn't want to have done them or been a part of them, but just felt so much like I am not interested in this right now at all. And I got kind of guilted into doing something, or like I felt like entitled, like I had to, not entitled, but I can't think of the word. I just was like, I just felt like I was doing everything, but it wasn't for me. And so I just felt really run down, used and abused. And I got sick. And of course I got sick when I got sick, because like, it was like my everything in my life just going like, something's got to fucking give. And I was strong. I pushed through, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm leaving behind that indecisiveness in 2023. I'm leaving behind like being like, oh, I don't know, maybe. It's like, no, bitch, yes or no. Because I moved into 2024 saying, I want this to be my year of no. Like, I'm all about Oprah and blah, blah, blah. And like, she did that, like, she read, I don't remember how many years ago, but like, Oprah like read this book and it was like something about like the year of yes or something. And it's like, oh, this book's amazing. It's going to change your life. Like, just say yes to everything. And I was like, oh, that sounds kind of fun. But like, now I'm like, no, I just want to say no to everything, because saying no to things when you don't want to do them is kind of like a big yes to the universe. And the thing is this, it doesn't matter if you're saying yes or no, you have to make a fucking decision and you have to stand by your decision. And it's okay to make the wrong decision and then fuck up and be like, oh shit, I made the wrong decision. But that you got to make one initially to begin with. And so I think like, I guess my point was that I was going to say no to all these things that I was involved in that I just didn't, my heart wasn't in. because a lot of those things were going to continue this year, and I was just going to let them all know, like, hey, by the way, I'm not going to be participating this year in those things. And then at least one of those things is already kind of happening again, and I was 100% not going to be involved in it at the end of December. And the specific thing I'm talking about, which is, again, another kids' theater production, I have actually said yes to this. Now it's been a couple weeks later, and I was on the fence, but I realized, I was like, okay, listen, you were trained as an actor, you were trained as a dancer, you were trained as a musician, you were trained as a singer, whatever, whatever. You have never, and you put so fucking much money into your training, and you've never really made any money doing what you were trained to do until recently, when you did a kids' theater production and they paid you $500. And I was like, that's not enough. You deserve more. But did you really want to say no to the first time you ever got paid doing what you were trained to do? And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I should not say no to that. Also, $500 in 3 months is, like, kind of good. I could probably make that doing a dog sit in a week, but still, it's like, it is worth it. And it does keep me connected to the theater community. And I am giving. I'm giving to children in the future of, you know, arts communities. So I am saying yes. But I'm saying yes in saying, you know, being mindful of that yes, being like, you said yes to this. Like, don't try to act like you didn't want to fucking do dish. You said yes, bitch. And so that feels good. I made a decision. It was made with, you know, mindfully. I knew I wanted to do it, and I said yes. So that's good. But there's going to be some no's. And it's never going to be a yes because I just don't know how to say no. It's going to be a yes because it works for me. It's working for me. And at any point, you know, if I just, there's not enough space for more things, I'm going to say no. No, thank you. No, not right now. That this time, this doesn't work for me. Like, please contact me again in 3 months. You know, I don't know. But just no. And also, like, no is a complete sentence. I fucking love that. I love no is a complete sentence. It is. You don't have to really explain to many people, like, why you're saying no. You just fucking say no. So no, bitch. All right. I want to go over a few things that I learned from this, like, Spotify wrap-up thing they do every year about your podcast. If you have a podcast on Spotify for podcasters, there was some interesting things that I learned about you guys, and I just wanted to share them with you and say thank you. So, did you guys realize that 50% joined of my listeners joined for the first time in 2023? So, what does that mean? 50% joined for the first time this year. So, 50% of all of my listeners joined for the first time this year. I'm not sure if that's what that means. That would be huge growth, right? Does that seem like that is what that means? 37, so we did see growth. We're talking growth now for sure. We saw 37% growth in followers to the podcast. We saw 25% growth in streams in 2023. We saw an 18% growth in listeners. So apparently listeners and followers are different. I don't know. Our listeners, this is not a surprise. Our listeners also love true crime, society and culture, and comedy. That sounds right. We don't really talk much about crime, but I'm a true crime junkie. I'm actually surprised I don't have a true crime podcast, but I mean, you do what you know how to do, and apparently I know how to do sex. 57% of our listeners discovered us in 2023. So I feel like that was a different way of saying that first thing I said, but that's huge growth, you guys. Like, I'm like, what? Like, what's going on? Am I famous? And then apparently our most listened to episode used to be one with JB. It wasn't the one where, that was never the one where he got a colonic. That wasn't it. But the newest top listening episode is an episode called Coming Out the Other Side, episode 61. I actually don't remember. I don't remember what that episode is even about. But if you want to hear that one, apparently a lot of people listen to it. Why don't you go have a listen? That'd be great. Thank you so much again for being amazing listeners, amazing followers. Please continue to do that. Please continue to listen. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe, follow, rate, review, all those things. If you, and that is so important. Like, I'm not kidding. If anyone is listening and you listen all the time, please just go ahead. Make sure you're subscribed, follow, whatever that is. It would help if you wrote a review or just like went down and like hit the 5-star. Give us 5 stars. It's so easy to just scroll down, give us 5 stars. If you don't have time to write a review, that's fine. I'm asking you. I provide this podcast for free, entirely free. Please do that for me. That'd be so great. Because it will help us continue to make this podcast. At the very least, could you please? And then, of course, you can email sexy stories, questions, and comments to makesexwithmepodcast@gmail.com and check out the new link tree in the show notes for all of our socials. You can still access older episodes if you want to become a paid subscriber on our podcast website, and that is also in the show notes. So, yum, yum, yum. I think it's like everything first 2 seasons is subscriber only. So, you know, you probably subscribe for 1 month, go listen to them, and then unsubscribe. But you could also just subscribe if you're thinking to yourself, I like this. He does deserve to be paid sometimes. I would like to pay him $2 a month to do that. And you guys, I haven't yet, but there's probably a Patreon coming soon. Season 5, I think you have Patreon to look forward to. And let's talk about some other things that you have to look forward to in season 5 in 2024, my lovers. We have already begun doing some research. We're going to be doing some exposés. I'm going to be trying my hand at some investigative journalism, if you will. I don't have a degree in journalism. Should I get a master's in journalism? I've been told no. I think I'm going to get a master's in something else. Probably won't have that in 2024, but we're going to start doing some research. So expect that. Expect me to sound a little bit more put together, a little bit more professional, a little bit smarter. I have a bachelor's degree. There's still going to be lots of silliness, however. And we'll be sharing internet finds, and we'll still be doing Q&A style episodes. So my goal is to do weekly episodes in 2024, you guys. That is a lot more. That is like doubling the amount of episodes that we will have this year. And I'm like pretty unsure I can do it. I am about 60% sure I can do it. That's better. That's better than 50%. How sure I am is polling higher than Trump's favorability. Not by much. Well, I want to say probably 49% of people like Trump in this country. That's a lot. That's a lot of fucking people. Ugh, can he just die? Okay, anyway, let's not go there. Let's not go there. Things might get really depressing in November, guys. That's all I'm saying. And I might be moving to another country. Somebody said Costa Rica, but I don't think I can live on an island. Costa Rica's not an island. I don't think I can live somewhere that's hot all the time. I can barely live in the subtropics, which I think is what they call this state. I can't live in the tropics. I don't think I can do it. So the way that we'll do weekly episodes is we will kind of alternate between quickiesodes and full-length episodes. So that might be every other week, full-length, every other week, quickiesode. It might be a long episode and then 2 weeks of quickiesodes. It just kind of depends on what we can put together. Because again, guys, doing it all on my own. I say we because there's you guys and there's also all of the wonderful guests that I have and the friends of the pod. They are very supportive. But it's this podcast is 99.9% produced by me. So we're going to do what we can do. But I will be saying no to things. Just know that I will be saying no to things so that I can say yes to make sex with me. To make sex with you, really. And what else? I already did that. Okay, so let's take a fake pause for our sponsor this week, which is boop, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop. I'm just going to start making up sponsors. Like, I'm just going to, or I'm either going to write really, really funny fake sponsor ads, or I'm going to just start saying that so-and-so is a sponsor when they're not. I think that's illegal, probably. I'm just going to be like, instead of sponsors, we'll just do like recommendations. We'll be like, this is my favorite lube. You guys should try it. I don't think that it's 100% safe to use. Well, it's olive oil, so it's probably safe to put in your urethra. But I guess not if you have like an allergy to olives or something like that. I don't know if anybody's allergic to olives. And I'm not even saying it's the best lube. It's just what I have. Also, I don't know if you know this. God, I just went from like a what if and it just became real. What the fuck? at the grocery store, you can buy tiny little bottles of olive oil. Like literally they're like 3 inches tall and it's like $3 or something. And it fits perfectly in a handbag. Just so you know, just a little bit of olive oil. Lasts pretty long and it's natural. It's natural. So, yeah, I've used coconut oil. I've used jojoba oil. It's a little thicker, maybe. I've used a lot of natural oils. I really like silicone lubricants, but I guess that's okay, right? I didn't know this. I've been watching a lot of like plastic surgery shows and shit like that. Silicone is not so bad for you. Because I used to think like, how can I use silicone lubricant? How can you put that inside a butt? Or how can that get in your pee hole? Isn't this like plastic? Isn't this like bad for you? I guess it's not as bad as you might think. I still used it. It's like the best lube. And it will deteriorate your condoms. But it's like, it's pretty great. Can we talk also? Can I be completely random? I don't know why this is my segue. Today at work, a 15-year-old boy talked to me like he was a 35-year-old man and was like, oh, what's your name? And I was just like, Drew. And he was like, oh, hi, Drew. My name is blah, blah, blah. And he was just like, he like wouldn't stop talking to me. And he like was just like, it was weird. This kid was just like, just seemed really confident. And when he left, I looked at my coworker and I said, I hope he never kills anybody. And she didn't really understand that because I don't think anyone knows as much about serial killers as I do, in my workplace at least. But so yeah, that happened today. Weird segue. How did I go from lube to that? That's not okay. All right, guys, this is what we're going to talk about today. Okay, this is the majority of our episode. It is, if you haven't guessed it, this is a just me episode. It is going to be a full length because it's our first episode. And I want to give you a big, long, hard episode. So here you go. I want to talk about like what I've been feeling in this new year, other than, you know, being super smart and like wanting to be paid more and like wanting to fight for, you know, getting paid a livable wage, getting enough hours at my job so that I don't have to have a second job, you know, like things like that, right? Being given work that is actually challenging and enjoyable, you know, like not just like over and over and over again the same thing and just like ugh, and being filled with that feeling of like I'm not getting anything done, nothing's changing, nothing's new, right? Okay, I went on a tangent again. That's not even what I want to talk about. But I am having a lot of feelings. I'm feeling really like romantic-y kind of. And actually, like, I want to do an episode real soon. Just talking about boys because they're so yummy. All of the boys that I'm interested in are, they are younger than me though. They're in their 20s. But some of them are like in their 30s. Here's the deal, okay? If I could find a motherfucker who wasn't married with children in his 30s around here, I would fucking date him. I would. Or like he didn't have some crazy baggage or terrible hair, I would fucking date him. Okay? Here's not that important, but there's more to that story. That's not what I'm finding. I'm finding unmarried young people are in like their middle to late 20s. That's what I'm finding. And I'm finding men who are very old. And some of those men are very sexy. But the old sexy men are taken. Even the old sexy men are taken. I used to be like sexy with old sexy men who were taken. And then they'd be like, oh, I got a wife. And I'd be like, oh, I'm sure you do. But I like still want to suck your dick because, you know, I don't give a shit. I don't really like you that much. I just want to suck your dick and you want me to, and then you can go be married still. It doesn't, no skin off anyone's back. Right. But there's no more to that. That was, I don't know where I went with that. Somebody just texted me when I was talking about that, and I lost interest in what I was saying in the middle of what I was saying. You know how that happens? So I've had a hard time of it, guys. I mean, one of the reasons why I started the podcast was because I wanted to have an outlet, and I wanted to talk about sex, and I wanted to like meet more sexy people and, you know, whatever. I guess trying to create something where nothing existed. And I'm sure that having this podcast has I almost said fucked my brain. Has stimulated my brain in a lot of really good ways. It has. I mean, I'm mostly like, I'm just passionate about podcasting now. Right. It hasn't gotten me laid. However, it's never once got me laid. Although a lot of times I'll be like talking to guys who want to hook up and I will mention I have a podcast and they all really like that. And then in my mind, I literally go, okay, so I'm going to hook up with this guy, and then I wonder if he'd like to be on the show. Like, and I'm almost like, okay, maybe I just won't hook up with him and he can be on the show. Like, would I rather have just like a really good guest on the show, or do I want to get laid? So now I think my interests have changed a little bit. I do want to get laid. Although I have been watching way too much porn. I just like, I'm kind of sick of that. I'm sick of like masturbating and coming and then just being like, oh, gotta find something to wipe this on. And then like getting out of bed without dripping cum everywhere and then going to my closet to get like a rag and then like throw it in the hamper and then get back in bed and you're like, oh God, am I still gonna drip a little bit, or am I gonna pee in my bed? Or no, well, I'm not gonna pee in my bed. I'm not like on drugs, but like just like the whole hassle, the whole thing. It's not a hassle, but it's a whole fucking thing. It's over and over and over again the same thing. I'm feeling a little bit like I want something new, I want something fresh, something exciting. I'm feeling romantic-y. Okay. I really want like a friends with benefits situationship, or like I want like a boyfriend or like something. I don't need to get married. I just like, I want someone to be cute with and cuddly with. And it would be nice to have like something like lovey, but I don't know. I guess I'm going to be here for a little bit while longer. I'm going to be trying to figure out how to support myself and produce a podcast and get a master's degree now. So yeah, I might not be able to afford to like move anytime soon. So maybe I could find a guy and, you know, be serious for a while. But I'm finding it difficult to, that was all a long, long, long like arc to me coming around to talking about my gender, which is not a gender, apparently. I have a hard time being called she. I don't know. It depends on what we're talking here. I don't really like being called ma'am. I don't really like being called sir, but I can identify that sir has got a little bit more power to it than ma'am, because of the world. I would prefer not to be called either. And in fact, like I'm thinking about in the next season with my theater kids, saying to them, hey guys, you don't need to know maybe if you're 6 years old what this means necessarily, but I am non-binary. So you guys don't call me Mr. Drew. Don't call me sir. Don't call me ma'am. I know we're in the South, but just call me Drew. And I'm just going to tell them, you guys, don't call me that. Just call me Drew. And I understand that you want to respect me, but you can. You can respect me by calling me what I want to be called. Just call me Drew. Although it is really cute when a little kid calls me Mr. Drew. It's really cute. But I want to be me, and I'm not trying to make waves, but that's the thing with queer people, with gay people and trans people, non-binary people, and people, other marginalized communities, you know, people of color, you just want to be you, and you're not trying to make waves. And other people are uncomfortable by you being you, and they accuse you of trying to make waves when you're just trying to be you and be acknowledged as such. And even people who care about you being like, don't make a scene. Oh, please don't make a scene. Just ignore it. These people don't matter. Just, they're going to say what they're going to say. Don't make a scene. And it's like, bitch, I am a professional at not making a scene. I am a fucking world-class master of disguise and not making waves and not stirring the turds. I am a fucking Academy Award winning actor when it comes to living in a world where I am like 1%. It feels like that, especially when you live where I live, because I feel like that is a liberal. I feel like that as a person with a penis who likes mostly people with penises, although I'm starting to find out I really like trans men too. They're really sexy. Sometimes they're really sexy. I would love to talk with a trans man, maybe a really sexy trans man, about how sexy trans men are. I'd love to talk about trans porn with somebody who really wants to talk about trans porn. I tried to do an episode of trans porn of trans porn. I tried to do an episode about trans porn, and the person I was talking to was a cis female, and she has a lot of trans friends, and she got really uncomfortable and she didn't want me to publish it. I understand. And I didn't, because I respect people's, you know, she didn't want to be published talking about that. But I do love porn. And I love trans porn, and I think it needs to be talked about. So we're going to do that too. Fucking tangents. Well, let me start again. I'm worried that I lived in New York, and I lived there for 8 years. Before that, I lived in Boston for like 3 or 4 years. I lived in Seattle for 2 years. I've lived in, you know, a lot of cities and a lot of like places that are a lot more liberal and a lot more accepting of different things. Especially New York. I mean, you just go there and nobody gives a shit what you're doing. They're doing their thing. You're doing your thing. And just like, you're good. I don't care. I don't have to agree with you. You're on that side of the subway. I don't give a shit. I guess I wasn't met with as much opposition when I was in New York. So I didn't ever feel like I needed to identify as anything. And when I moved here and I started feeling like I'm non-binary, I have friends that knew me in New York who said, "You've always been non-binary." And I was like, "No, I'm coming out now. It's non-binary." And they're like, "Yep. What the fuck were you before? You've always worn like whatever the fuck you wanted to wear. And you've always been, you know, that you were someone who I looked at and was like, you gave me strength because you were doing you." And I was like, but I wasn't doing me. So many times I wasn't doing me to the degree that I wanted to be doing me, even in New York. And I'm afraid to commit to anything. I'm afraid to say I'm she, her, I'm he, him, I'm they, them. Saying they, them feels like too much of a commitment. And that is hugely because of the people who have a hard time saying they, them. It's hugely because of people who they feel like it's an assault to their First Amendment rights or whatever. It's like, no, if you're going to talk to me, call me what I want to be called. Or don't fucking talk to me. Has literally nothing to do with you. Has everything to do with me. And mutual respect that we have for people. You know, like, I respect you enough to call you the name that you tell me is your name. if you tell me you have a gender, I will accept that and respect you enough to call you words that reflect that gender. Like, you just need to do the same for me if we're going to be involved with each other at all. If not, bye, bitch. You know what I mean? It's pretty simple. But the fact that so many people have such a hard time with they, them, it definitely makes it something I don't want to be called. You know, it's weird. It's weird. You could try to love your body as much as you want, but if fat is bad in the public's, you know, the majority of the public's opinion, you don't want to be that. And it's like really hard to talk yourself out of that. Like, it's really hard to be like, no, I do love myself. I am happy with my body. I am non-binary. I would like to be called they, them. It feels like I'm wearing a freak sign on my forehead. And also, I don't know who was talking about it, but it's, I've said it a million times in my own mind, when it doesn't matter if I am, like when it comes to dating, it doesn't matter if I know that I'm non-binary. If the people I'm interested in see me as this or that, then I'm not non-binary to them. I think what I'm feeling a reference to is what, what's her name? She just won a Emmy. And I'm wondering if she won the Emmy for her role in Niecy Nash. I hate myself. Niecy Nash, I think she won the Emmy for her role in Dahmer. Is that what she won it for? Or is it for something else? Let's look it up. Niecy Nash Emmy win. She wins Outstanding Supporting Actress in Dahmer. Oh my god. Am I still recording? Did any of that get in the recording? Okay, so she won for Dahmer, and she was amazing in Dahmer. Dahmer was extremely controversial. I also loved it and watched it, and it also ruined my life. But anyway, I think that was what was intended. She said, not in her speech for winning an Emmy, she was talking afterwards. You know how they interview the fucking people after they give their speech and whatever. They said something like, you said you were thankful mostly for yourself. Like, you wanted to thank yourself for winning this award or whatever. And she was like, yep, I did. She was like, you have to fucking have so much confidence. You have to, like, believe in yourself. She's like, she talked about, like, the amount of times she cried because she knew she could play a role better than anyone else, and she was not cast as that role because of the color of her skin, the size and the shape of her body, you know, this or that. And she, it didn't matter that she knew, but she still needed to know. She still needed to know that she was that bitch. She still needed to know that she fucking had it, even if everyone else didn't. And it was like this kind of like, I don't know, look at me now, bitch. Like, I fucking knew it. I mean, Niecy Nash is a comedic actress, or so we thought. But here she is in Dahmer. And she played like this woman who lived next door to Dahmer, like, when he was murdering, you know, men in his apartment. And she was like playing this woman who, like, smelled rotting bodies through her vents and called the cops, heard men being murdered next door and called the cops. And because she was a black woman in the inner city, they didn't respond, or they'd say, oh, that part of town, that building, we don't want to go there. Like, just so many reasons why. And because it identifies that, like, there's a problem when you're in an underserved community. You're in a vulnerable position. Like, murderers can literally get away with murdering low-income people because literally police and government and a lot of people just don't care about them. That's just the deal. So it was like such a powerful role for her to play. And it's amazing that she's playing that, that role of someone who's just like, just society just doesn't care about her and her existence. And then she is in real life is this woman who's like, I knew I could do all these great things and nobody believed me. And I'm not gonna win an Emmy or anything. But and I'm not even saying I know I'm capable of greatness, although I do. It is so hard when you know yourself, know things about yourself, if nobody else knows it or nobody else cares. And I don't want to sound like I think nobody cares about me. I definitely do. I see you, my best friends. I see you, my family. I know you love me. I know you care about me. And I know you guys probably, at least in some part of you, think that I am capable of doing great things. Or you've seen me and you think I'm smart and you think I'm talented and you know these things about me, right? Thank you. I see you. But that doesn't change the fact that you know these things about yourself and you're still met with incredible opposition by, like, the majority of society, it feels like, you know? So at the end, if you are successful, if you make it through that mountain of bullshit, then you do kind of owe yourself a huge fucking thank you. Like, I am thankful for me. I'm thankful for everyone who supported me too, but I'm thankful for me at least for being durable enough, at least for being, I want to say durable enough, like a plastic trash can being hit by a speeding truck. That's what I feel like most days. So my fear this month was that I was girling myself up. I was trying to be more girly so that guys would like me. So that, like, I felt a connection between me and a guy, but he was like, I like girls. And I knew that, like, he might have liked me a little bit, but he didn't, he didn't know how to do that or feel about that. He doesn't know what he's feeling or how to explain it. So I need to girl myself up. Like, I've been wanting to shave my face more so that I don't have a hairy face. But what's funny is I actually love the look of stubble on me. I think it's really sexy. So I don't want to, like, get electrolysis and get rid of my facial hair so I can be pretty or whatever. I want to have that stubbly look because I like it. I am non-binary. Like, I'm in between. I have days when I feel masculine and I have days when I feel feminine. And it's just hard. it's just hard when you can feel people looking at you and you just are like, they think I'm disgusting. And it happens a lot. It happens a lot, and it's microaggressive. Yes, they don't spit at me, although I have been spit on, not just in the bedroom. It's just like, you just know. They either don't acknowledge you at all, or they just kind of look at you like you're disgusting. Yeah, that happens. I don't really know what else to say about that. I love when I have those moments in therapy sessions where, like, I just say a bunch and then literally nothing else can come out. And I'm just like, so yeah, I said that. I don't know what else to say. Thanks. And my therapist is like, yep, that's okay. He's like, this is, maybe you just exhausted that thought. Hey, getting to the end of a rope. It's okay. Maybe we should be at the end of that rope. Wait, that sounded like a joke about hanging myself. Oh, God. Ooh. All right. The other day, I jokingly told a woman she should stop having kids. And she was like, and I was like, I'm kidding. Have as many kids as you want. She's like, I'm not having any more kids. And I was like, oh, thank God. I can't. I'm about to make waves, and I'm not even meaning to. So that's a fear, that I'm girling myself up to be more girly for guys. But not wanting to be too girly, because I don't want to, like, make it obvious that I'm girling myself up. And then I'm like, is this just this stupid, like, this thing? Because every gay boy, every gay tween, teen, whatever, little gay is like, little fagala, is like, told constantly, like, don't get another crush on a straight boy. Like, he likes girls. You like boys. Stop having crushes on straight boys. You don't love yourself. You don't respect yourself. If you keep loving people that can't love you back, you don't love yourself. You don't respect yourself. Is there truth to that? Yeah, bitch. Yeah, there is. But I can't help that I want to be somebody that this person likes. I feel very much like I lost out on a lot. I didn't feel like I had, even though I went to a boarding school where it was totally fine to be gay, I don't know, I feel like I missed out on so much because of my own demons. Even in that environment, feeling, I don't know, that I could never, I didn't deserve or couldn't have the opportunities that other people had. And I feel like I never had, like, some boy that I had a crush on that had a crush on me. And, like, I'm not even really sure how common that is of an occurrence to, like someone who likes you back, and, like, you really like them and they really like you back. I'm not even really sure how common that is, but it feels like a story that we hear so commonly, probably in, like, cis hetero teen society, right? Although there's plenty of cis straight, you know, guys and girls and squirrels and everything in between that didn't have that occurrence. But I really feel like I didn't. And there was a lot of times when I just wanted to be a girl because I wanted a boy. I wanted to be the girl and I wanted him to be the boy. And I remember when I was really little, being like, I used to like, I call it dialoguing now, but I used to like literally play act, like, and by the way, I still do this. I used to act like I was like in bed with my lover, and the lover was a woman, and I was the man. And I'd, you know, the pillow would be her, and I'd be like holding her, and I'd be like, but what's funny is I never was like, oh, baby, let me caress your boobies. I never like really talked about her body. I just was like, oh, like, I don't even know if she had a name. I have no memory of any of the specifics, but it was just kind of like, it's okay, I'm here. Like, don't worry, I love you. You're my girl. You're my special girl. I was like using my movie phone voice. I think my voice sounds really husky right now too, because I'm post bronchitis and also end of the day tired. But yeah, it was like I would like caress her and hold her and kiss her, and we would talk, and then it would always end in like kissing. And then, of course, I didn't know what sex was really like, so it never went any further than that. It just would end, and then I don't fall asleep or go watch a show or, you know, get a sandwich. But I remember at some point I said, I think I want to be the girl, and I want him to be the boy. And it seemed like, oh, no, I can't do that. It seemed like it was too exciting to be possible. And it felt like, oh, I don't know. Like, if I do this, I'm gonna like it and I'm never gonna be able to go back. And that scared me. So I think I stayed clear from it for a while. And then I was like, and then I tried it, and then I loved it, and then I was always the girl. And then I guess when I started understanding more, I don't really know how the transition happened, but I started understanding more about gay people, and maybe I was the boy and he was the boy. I don't know, but it's amazing how open my mind is, but how some parts of my brain are still very much like a man loves a woman loves a man. You have to be the man or you can be the woman, but you can't be both and you can't be not, n neither. It's still so ingrained in my head that I have to be one. And it's totally the binary, but I freak out all the time because I'm like, am I sure I'm not trans? But and it's what's funny is my dad, I think my dad took some kind of like, you know, I'm actually looking at a picture of my dad as I'm saying this. He took some kind of like class in, you know, when he was in college, maybe psychology, a couple psychology classes or something, and so he knew a couple of catchy little terms that they used in the during the time, right? It may have been like in the 60s or whatever. I think they use the term gender. What do they call it? It wasn't gender dysphoria, but I definitely have that at times. A sexual identity crisis. I think that's the term he used with me when I was little and I did feminine things or I. Whatever. And it was like really little. He'd say things like, do you think you might have a sexual identity crisis? Or like, do you think you might want to be a girl? And what's so funny is like, it was so scary when he'd ask me that. Like, I didn't feel like I would have been able to tell him if I did. There was a lot of parts of me that wanted to be a girl when I was little, but I always was too afraid to like I've talked about the Kachina dolls. I had these Mexican Kachina dolls, and you put them under your pillow at night, and you'd wish for something, and then the wish would come true. And there were boy ones, and there were girl ones, whatever, and I think my aunt brought them to me. I'm just going to say this quickly, because I don't know how many times I've talked about the fucking dolls. But it was a thing of, like, nobody told me. I don't think anyone told me that you had to put a boy under your pillow if you were a boy, and you had to put a girl under your pillow if you were a girl. But somehow I got it through my head that that was true. And I also got it through my head that if I put a girl Kachina doll under my pillow, that I would wake up a girl the next morning. And there was a lot of times when I made things up that I thought were told to me, and they weren't. I'm not sure when that delusional behavior ended. It might not have ever ended. Hopefully it did. But so I was so afraid. I wanted to put the girl under the pillow. I wanted to wake up a girl, but I didn't know how to explain it to people the next morning. And the funny thing is, I always tell people that it wasn't like, I woke up with boobs the next day, 'cause I was a kid. I wouldn't have had boobs, but it was like, I woke up the next day just with long hair and didn't know how to explain why I had long hair and a vagina. And then when I think about what I might have looked like, it was like Tina Belcher from Bob's Burgers. I don't know why, but there wasn't Bob's Burgers when I was a kid. So these are weird connections I've made later, obviously. But so the fear of saying to my dad, yeah, I want to be a girl. But then again, this feeling of like, but then, what do I want to do an hour later? Do I still want to be a girl? I used to wish that I could just be a girl, just kind of switch back and forth. We can't really do that gracefully or that easily in our society. You kind of have to pick one. You can't be both, right? You can't go back and forth. If you go to the other side, you gotta stay there. You can't come back. I'm definitely feeling feminine a lot. Like, it's the same thing when I get my nails painted. If I get acrylic nails or something on, they're on till they're not on, right? They're on for a while. You're gonna have those on for a fucking month or something. I get really anxious as I'm getting the nails put on, because it feels like I'm being choked. Because I can't hide my queerness if it's on my fingers. And that is uncomfortable. But I just sometimes really want to paint my fingernails. And I really want to have long fingernails. There's also things about those that drive me crazy. I want to have long hair, long fingernails. I want to wear makeup. But then some days I feel like I want to shave my head, cut my nails short, not wear a single piece of jewelry or any makeup or just like whatever. I just sometimes want to be bare. And I think I also just, I sometimes want to be fully me, and then sometimes I just want to be nothing. In some days, it's easier to be nothing. The problem becomes, I think there's more days where I'm nothing than there are where I'm me. So there's that. So there's the fear of girling myself up, but there's also the fear of girling myself down. That I want so many things. You know, I like this guy, but I'm afraid that if I get my nails done, he's going to think it's gross. He's going to find me disgusting. If I'm too much of myself. He's going to find it disgusting. And so I'm hiding little bits of myself or little desires I have just, you know, in the odd chance that he might actually like me if I just hide a little bit more of who I am. He'll just, that maybe then he'll appreciate me. Because I've definitely had times when I said, fuck that, I love me, I'm going to be me, I'm going to go and have fun, I'm going to do what I want to do, and then I turn around, and I'm all alone. Except for my friends and my family. Who always love that about me. That's awesome. I'm not discounting that, but just always feeling that, like, not having a person who, like, and I don't want to feel like I'm wrong for wanting this. I don't want to feel like I don't appreciate the love from my mother enough, or the love from my friends enough, or from my nieces. Because I want someone to think that I'm sexy. I want someone to desire me. I want someone to appreciate me. I want someone to know me inside and out and still want to see me tomorrow. And I want to be crazy about someone who's also crazy about me. That also seems fucking terrifying. I like this guy right now. I like him a lot. And I, the thought of finding out that he likes me as much as I like him is almost more terrifying than me just finding out another guy doesn't like me as much as I like him. Because we know that one of those things I can handle. There's like a fear that I'm going to love somebody so intensely that I will lose myself. I will love someone so intensely that if anything ever happens to that love, I will not survive it. There's that fear. But there's also the knowledge that I'm going to die no matter what one day. And will I want to die without having had a love that intense? I don't know. Plenty of people don't have a love that intense and they still live full lives. And they probably would get to the end of their lives and be really fucking happy with their life. So I'm not saying that, like, your life only matters if you had an intense, passionate love. There's all sorts of different lives and there's all sorts of different purposes and ways to appreciate your experience and different experiences. There's something I wanted to talk about in another episode, and then I thought I would talk about it in this episode. But I'm thinking this episode is drawing near to an end. But at some point, I want to talk about Jordan. And actually, I wanted to talk about Jordan last season. And I don't know. I don't know that there will be another good time to talk about Jordan. Maybe we'll talk about Jordan in the Boys episode. I think that's what's going to happen. Bitches. So, guys, what's your... Oh my God, I just died. What is your... What are you vibing with this year so far? What are you... anything deep? I mean, that's January, baby. It's reflective. Okay. You see yourself a little bit. And you're obviously trying to say, what is this year going to be? Because that's what we fucking do. That's what we fucking do. And so we start to reflect. And that's good. That's fine. That's totally fine. It might be a little cliche, but I think it's not a bad idea. So, what are you guys feeling? What are you guys feeling about yourselves? Please let me know. We're going to need something to talk about for our Q&A episode. So please, again, rate, review, subscribe, wherever you listen to podcasts. Please write in. Check out our show notes for all of that shite. And give us a 5-star rating. I just want a 5-star rating. I want nothing else. If you give me a 1-star rating, that's also fine. I would love it if you wrote some terrible shit about me, gave me a 1-star rating, and I will read it online. I will read it on the air. Read it online? I'm so unprofessional. You guys, I love you so much. I'm so excited we made it both to 2024 and to season 5. And I am so excited to bite off a huge wiener of a task, which is to make weekly episodes. I'm so unbelievably worried that that's going to be very hard to do. But I want to do it. I think it's important. I think more of my mouth noise in your ear is what you need. I think it's what I need. I want your mouth noise in my ear too. So please make that fucking happen. Thank you very much. That's all. That's all she wrote. You guys, I hope that for this new year, honestly, you guys are filling your holes with whatever makes you happy. Bye-bye.